Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege to come together with the brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of Christ, partakers in the household of faith, where we come together to expound on the word of God and fellowship. And tonight, we're going to talk about faith. Glory, hallelujah. And the topic of our lesson is faith without works is dead. We're in the book of James, the second chapter. Hallelujah. And as always, we're going to take and go to God's throne of grace. Yeah, I'm sorry, everyone. But the phone cut off and I had to dial back in to the studio. But as I was saying, it's always an honor and a privilege. And God has allowed us another chance to come together to expound on the word. As I said earlier before I was cut off, that tonight's lesson is coming from the book of James, the second chapter. We're going to expound on the 14th to the 26th verse. But you were asked to read the entire chapter. And I want you to know the title of our lesson tonight is Without Works is Dead. At this time, I'm going to play a song. And then we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace in prayer.
Bye.
And you know he prepared me because he cares. He is maturing me. Yes, he is. Because he cares. Hallelujah. And you know what? The Lord is arranging me. Yes, he is. And not only is he arranging, but he rearranged my attitude.
Yeah, that song, Say God is Preparing Me. We have to realize that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. and our time here on earth. You know, God could have just saved us and took us straight to heaven, and we could have lived with him eternally once we got saved. But the earth is our preparation ground where we are being prepared for our eternal home. And our lesson tonight about in works is appropriate when you think about being prepared. God is using his time to prepare his people by doing kingdom building here on earth and loving on one another and loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We are being prepared, y'all, for a prepared place that Jesus is preparing for us. And we have to realize that faith is essential. It's what help us to wait on God. It's what help us to be all right in the midst of our storms. Because see, we have faith by the evidence we have been given and our acceptance of Jesus Christ. And he became our Lord and our Savior and our Master. And he had all kind of promises and provisions. And by the faith that he gave us as a gift, we are able to hold on to the confession of that faith and know that help is always on the way, that he didn't just leave us and he'll never forsake us. And he's working things out for our good. See, we could see that with our spiritual eyes as we walk in faith. And that song, he's preparing us. He's preparing us for service right here on earth, service to our sisters and our brothers, builders of the temple of God, the kingdom of God here on earth. And it's a beautiful thing. But you got to believe it to achieve it. You got to trust it to embrace it. You have to understand so you can rest in it. You have to just believe and have faith and see the hands of God operating in your life. And at this time, Sister Pam, your mic is open and you could bring us to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found.
Praise the Lord. Good evening, my sisters and brothers. Giving thanks to you, Father God, tonight for life. Lord, I thank you for our Bible study. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's listening on tonight. Lord, I thank you for our sister in Christ, our teacher, our prayer warrior, Minister Diane Adams. Lord, keep using her, Lord, for your glory. We thank you, Lord, in advance for the word that's going to be brought forth on tonight. We'd be so careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And it's in the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen, and thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you so much, my sister.
You're welcome.
I don't have to worry on Wednesday night when it's time for prayer. The prayer warrior is in position to go to the throne of grace on our behalf. And for that and your faithfulness, your works, this is a part of your works, baby. This is a part of your deeds.
Yes, ma'am.
The Bible said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So everything we do, God accounted and gives us credit. And for that, my sister, I say thank you. Keep on keeping on.
You're welcome.
And as I said earlier, our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of James. And we're going to be in the second chapter. We're going to expound on verses 14 through 26, but you are asked to read the whole chapter. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background, and sometimes I do it on people, places, or things. So tonight, I'm going to give a little background on the person, James, and then we'll expound on the lesson. You see, James is the writer of the book of James. He is the brother of Jesus. And as some would say, the half-brother. You know, legally, the world says that any child born of the same father is whole. And if a mother has children with different fathers, they become the stepfather. They become the stepchildren. But many times, us, especially blacks, we believe everybody from the mother is whole. But Jesus is James' half-brother because Joseph was not Jesus' father. You see, James grew up in a house with Jesus in Nazareth. But as far as their thinking and belief, they was miles apart. James did not grow up as a believer, as we believe today in the power of Jesus, that he didn't believe in Jesus as a Messiah. And at that time, Jesus hadn't died, so the coming Messiah. And it could have been just that, you know, they lived in the same house and they didn't think that he maybe had the qualification to be what the teaching was producing at that time. So James didn't believe. You see, God has a way of accomplishing everything he wants. And it wasn't until Jesus' resurrection that James believed. You know, when Jesus ascended back in heaven, after his resurrection, Jesus stayed on earth for 40 days and was making appearances to people. Isn't it amazing that God don't want to leave no doubt in our mind about the truth? So Jesus walked the earth after the resurrection for 40 days and he showed himself to people, and he stopped by his brothers. Hallelujah. And he showed himself to his brothers who didn't believe. And even some of the disciples, because Thomas said he's not going to believe that Jesus resurrected till he could see the holes in his hands. So Jesus showed himself to his brothers, many others, and his disciples. And then James finally realized and understood who his half-brother really was. Glory, hallelujah. You see, throughout Jesus' ministry, his half-brothers, along with James, didn't give Jesus the respect that was due him. Not only them, but, you know, many people, when they start talking about Jesus as the coming Messiah, many people around and about, especially in Nazareth, where he grew up, said, who y'all talking about? That little old boy, y'all talking about Joseph, little old son? Yeah, right. You see, it appears they thought he was not thinking clearly, his brothers, when he was telling them. And perhaps they wanted him gone from their home because, you know, people had started shoo-shooing and everything who didn't believe. You see, James, the brother of Jesus, other brothers, they never showed him honor. And Jesus was sad about that. Jesus spoke from his experience when he said, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Even at his death, Jesus entrusted the care of his mother Mary, not to his half-brothers, but to his disciples and his close friend John. Jesus' resurrection, Jesus gave himself entirely to God. After Jesus' resurrection, James gave himself to God except in Jesus as the Son of God. And he became an important figure in the early church. Glory, hallelujah. You see, the book of James offers numerous practical examples to illustrate his point. Faith endures in the midst of trials. You see, if you want to read a book that's just full with, how should I say it, plain common sense in reference to God, who he is, his son, and what he has in store for us, you could be in the book of James. This is profound and it's filled with wisdom. You see, the book of James is called a book of wisdom. See, James is interested in people and their interactions, so many times he talk about the bridling of your tongue. He tried to tell you, walk away from wickedness. He tried to tell us in his books how to be of service and do good deeds towards others. And he tells us in his book, be careful about playing favorites. But James also recognized that even believers stumble. But he is encouraging us to place action to our faith. The book of James is known as the Proverbs. You know, in the Old Testament, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. But James is noted as the Proverbs of the New Testament. James emphasized that good action will naturally flow from those who are filled with the Spirit, and question whether someone may or may not have saving faith of the Spirit cannot be seen. We see in the book of James a challenge to faithful followers of Jesus to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Not be just hearers, but become doers. You see, he also focused on the truth of Jesus, the sermon that Jesus preached on the Sermon of the Mount. And that's what he began his ministry and became an important person in the church. They say once you meet Jesus and really understand and realize who he really is, your life will never be the same. And that's what happened to James. And we're going to go into the scriptures tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of James, the second chapter. We're going to start at the 14th verse. And it reads, what do it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? You know, when James talked about this, there are a lot of theologians and a lot of people, especially atheists, who want to find contradictions in the Bible. You see, James say faith without works is dead. The Bible, along with Paul and his 13 epistles or his 13 letters, put great emphasis that we are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. But I come to tell you tonight, they don't contradict, but they complement one another. Because you see, Paul says when you have faith in Jesus alone for your salvation, that it would do what James is asking us to do. It should produce works and deeds. Y'all know we're not doing good to be saved, but once we are saved, we should want to do good work. You see, this important phrase governs the interpretation of this whole passage, y'all. And have, if you have not works, James does not say Now watch this. You got to really see what you read. James does not say that this person actually has faith. He said, but he claimed to have it. He's saying it with his mouth. Y'all have to remember that everybody who say they're saved, or everybody who say they have faith, is not true faith. That's why God said in the word of God that there are going to be some that when they come up and they say, I prophesied in your name and I did this in your name and I did that, God said, I don't know you. God said, I don't know you. And that's why when we get there, we're going to think of some people whom we may not see. If we get to know them from the natural, we'll think they should be there. But they didn't make it. And they may be some that you thought was going to die and go to hell. But you'll see them rejoicing in heaven. Everybody who say they have faith, it may not be true saving faith. You know, everybody who say, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean it. Some people say those things to make people believe they're Christian. When it's convenient for them, you know, they'll say, you know, something about God. You know, even when they have all of these big time things with the movie stars, and you might see a lot of their life stories and a lot of their actions and everything on TV and on the internet, and you never see evidence of anything concerning God. But, oh, sometime they win an award and they say, thank God. And you see people living on the street like gangsters or whoever, or people who just seem to have a life not filled with God. Soon as something happens, they be calling on the name of Jesus when it's convenient or when they need him. But you got to truly have accepted God with your whole heart to be saved. You can't fake it thinking you're going to make it. And the other thing is, God says, anything could come out the mouth. And we always have to realize, God said, the same mouth that blessed, the same mouth curse. He said, that's why I look at the heart. And we don't have the ability to see someone's heart. That's why we are asked not to judge. Not to judge, because we don't know. But James said in this verse, he said, a man say he has faith. So we have to realize these things. And sometime after a long time, I have seen on the TV people who confess after many years that they have been going to church and they have been going through the motion. And they could tell you when they really, really got it, or when they really became saved. Everything prior to that, going through the motion, and it was unprofitable. They confess that with their mouths, and that's really true sometimes. Sometimes in church, people come in, they've been baptized and supposedly accepted Christ, and they join the church, and they ask them, have they been baptized? They say, yeah. They say, but I need to be baptized again because I don't feel like I got it. So all of these scenarios do happen. But if you save and know you saved, you should want to work. And then if we look at the next verses, 15, 16, 17, it says, and 18, it says, if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute for daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and fulfilled, notwithstanding ye give them those things which are needful for their body, what do it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not worked, is dead, being alone. You know, we have to be concerned about people. You know, many times somebody will call and they have a situation, and it might be something that you could help them with physically, but all you want to offer is a prayer, which is spiritual. You know, if they're telling you they're hungry and you have food and you don't share it, come on, y'all. What kind of faith is that? See, your faith produces you the desire to want to do the work. God said in Philippians 2:13, it is I that work it in you to will and to do your good pleasures, to do my good pleasures. God even gives us the opportunity to do the works and the deeds that he expects of us. Many times they say, I don't know how you came here today. You didn't even know what was going on, but this is the situation. Because God is connecting that. God is working that out, arranging and rearranging the matters in our lives. Verse 18 says, Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. He says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So you don't have to go around. They got plenty of people that don't go around bragging about, I'm so into God. I did this and I did that. The Bible tell you don't let your left hand know what your right hand doing. And I do this and I do that. First of all, if you're doing it and anybody got eyes, they could see it. He said, the one man say, you know, the work that I do, let it speak for me. Let it speak for me. It says, I have works, show me thy faith without thy works. And I will show you my faith by my works. You see, many times we hear someone say what love is. You know, they had the slogan going around, love is what love does, saying that if someone loves you, they should be evidence of love and kindness and cherishing and want to protect you and be with you and all of these good things, take care of you. Because, see, that's what love does. But I come to tell you tonight, faith is what faith does. You see, if you truly love someone or have faith in someone or something, there should be evidence. You know, plenty of times you could see a couple, you say, that man really loves that lady. And you could see another couple and say, I wonder why she's still with him. Because you have evidence that he treat her bad. He may be beating her. He don't bring his money home, you know. It may have a lot of extra affairs and all of this that is just known. That's the evidence that's seen to let you know that he's not what he say he is. I want you to look at it that way, and I use love as a metaphor to show your analogy about faith. Faith to some people is just a noun, the name of a person, place, or thing, like abstract. It's just that, oh, I have faith. But you see, when you take faith and you realize and you turn it into a verb and that faith go to work, it's a beautiful thing. You see, James is saying if you have faith, there should be evidence of your faith by your actions, period. Come on, y'all. All that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, and again, I say we're not working to be saved, but because we are saved, because Jesus paid the price, God gave us his only begotten son. They beat him all night long. They hung him on a cross and put him in a borrowed tomb for you and for me. And he has given us instructions in his holy word, asking us to do thus and so. And really and truly, us doing what the word of God is asking us to do is more for us than it is for him. Because if nobody left on the earth do the things that God asked him to do, God is still going to be God. Jesus Christ is still going to be Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is still going to be operating as the Holy Spirit. God don't need you to do works to make him more God. But he gets glory out of your work. That's why I say, let your light so shine that men could see the good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. When God people, that's just like you and your family, say your children. When your children is operating, well, not just your children, but you know what I mean, mainly your children. When your children is operating in the way you know it's just right, it pleases you. And when we take the Holy Bible, our daily book for our daily living that God has given to us, and we begin to do the work that is in the book, it pleases God. But don't ever get it twisted. It doesn't make God no more God. God is God. What you do? If you never pray again, God's going to still be God. If you never pick up his word and study it, God is still going to be God. It's for you. When you get that call in the midnight hour, waking up out of your sleep to go because something has happened, and you could sit down for just a second and say, God, I trust you. God, and you could go into prayer for that situation, trusting and believing that God is going to work it out. You see, that's your faith that God has given us. It's for you, y'all. It's for us. Not you, us. You see, faith is active in our lives. You got to make it active. Don't let it be a noun. Turn it into a verb. Let it have action in our lives when you do the work that faith produces. Now, this is amazing. I don't know if you guys really know that, but everything God has asked us to do, he's given us the provision and the strength to be able to do it. You see, the works, James requires, are not done apart from faith, but done in faith, not done instead of faith, but done because of faith. Faith and works go together. You see, faith is an underlying standard of Christian life. And deeds should be our way of life, becoming mature and complete should be our goal. When we know more, we should do more. You see, we learn that works do not save us, but we will have good works and should have good works if you're saved. We got to be about our Father's business, y'all. And the scriptures let us know there's people that are saved. But just think about it. As I said earlier, James knew that Christians would stumble. And there are people that are selfish. You're saved and you're selfish. That means you're only concerned about yourself, your immediate surroundings. And you, some people really glorify the fact that they don't entertain people, or they don't fool with this, or they don't fool with that. You never know when you need somebody. But God designed it. You see, in the Old Testament, God did miracles. Come on, y'all. God did miracles in the Old Testament. But see, in the New Testament, he gave us his son. He imparted his spirit. He's saying, y'all going to have to be miracles to each other. Come on, y'all. I'm not going to drop no mammon out of the sky. So if you know Sally three houses down from you don't have no bread, go to Winn-Dixie. He said, you're going to have to do for each other. He said, but I don't expect you to do it without me empowering you, without me giving you the provisions to do it. He said, I'm going to give you the mindset. I'm circumcising your heart. He said, I'm preparing you, as the song said that was played early, for the matters in our lives. And you don't have to blow a horn into the horn about who you are in Jesus Christ, because your faith will show what you do. You know, if I simply put it, James wants Christians to have faith that works, period. Because of what God has done for us, let us do something for God. And it's just simple. The Bible says to know about something that you could help with and don't is a sin. To have know something that you could do to help and don't do it, it's a sin. The Bible tells us we're saved by faith alone, but it is also clear and true that faith will always be evidenced by good works of any kind, of some kind. You know, there's sometimes we say some people don't have no fruit. God says, show me your fruit. Come on, y'all. God is looking to see the fruit. You see, God is giving us all of these things, and our work and our deeds are a return on his investment. God gives us everything that is necessary for us to accomplish his will. Isn't that beautiful? You see, the goal of faith is to help us live a stress-filled life, trusting and believing in that faith in Jesus Christ. God has indwelt us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the fruit of the Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit, when you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of you. And he brought along the gift of the fruit of the Spirit that Jesus Christ gave him to give us. And if we go to Galatians 5 and 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Come on, y'all. If we loving and kind, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See, when the Holy Ghost came and indwelled inside of you, he brought the gift. It's your job to, is you have to put in the work to operate in them. And that word does not have an S on the back of it. God don't want you to take those nine virtues and say, oh, I got love, but I'm not patient. or I don't know how to be long-suffering. He wants you to work on getting all of that to operate in you together, not 3 out of 9, not 5 out of 9, but all 9. And that's the only way you're going to have a stress-free life. And that's how you get it. 19 and 20. He said, thou believest that there is one God, thou do it well. He's saying, yeah, you might believe, but what you doing with what you believe? And then the scripture goes on to say, the devil also believe and tremble. 20. But wilt thou know, O vain, that faith without work is dead? And, you know, it's one thing to know of someone, but it's another thing to have faith, believe, and trust in that someone. Satan always talked about, well, first of all, Satan was in heaven. So it was like he wasn't familiar. But you see, Satan is still trying to do what he started out to do, to be equal with God. But he never will, but he's still trying. And I guess what really give him the fuel to keep trying is because some people, you know, like on earth we have atheists and people who don't believe in God and people who got disbelieved and lean into their own understanding. So he said that since they are some, he believed he could get more. And he keep pushing and keep trying. James said, yeah, you say there is one God. But Satan said it too. But Satan ain't going to do no good works or do anything to build the kingdom of God. And what he's saying is some people who say they have faith and some who really have faith is not doing the works and the deeds for kingdom building here on earth. It goes on in 21 through 24. It said, was not Abraham the father justified by works? Now, y'all remember when Abraham was on the scene, Jesus had not died. So you couldn't be saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. You see, the people in the Old Testament had to look forward to the Messiah coming. And we have the vision to see that the Messiah has already come. So they're looking forward and we looking back. But the point I'm trying to say, Abraham was justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his work was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God and it was imputed into him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. See, Abraham believed God. So when God asked Abraham to offer his son up as a sacrifice on the altar, because Abraham trusted God, he went into action by faith. And he was willing to do whatever God asked him. And it might have not been, I'm sure it wasn't easy for him because he had wanted a son all this time. And Abraham probably, well, first of all, when we say not our will, but your will be done, we have to take everything that come along with it. And Abraham could have thought that if God did allow him to die, that he could raise him back up again. No, I don't know what went on in Abraham's mind, and the Bible don't make it very clear. But Abraham believed God, and by faith, he stepped into action, and God honored him, and God say that he was a friend of God. And not only that, Abraham became our father. Come on, y'all. Father Abraham had many sons. God told him, I'm going to give you so many children that it would be, couldn't be counted like the sands in a sea. Through Abraham, the Israelites, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Israel was birthed. Because he had faith. And he put his faith into action. He showed God, I'm going to trust you with my son. And God knew how that feel because he had gave his son Jesus. It was something hard to ask a person. But Abraham said, here am I. All right. Abraham immediately went into work to do what God had asked him to do. And God is asking us to do things, y'all, because God is the one that gives us the opportunity to be of service. And I know for a fact that God ain't just telling some people and not telling others, because he have equipped all of us with gifts and talents and resources. Now, I also know that God gave and asks of us according to our ability, and to whom much is given, much is required. But God is asking everyone to be of service, because that's where you get your blessings. That's where you get your rewards. When Jesus comes back and everybody that goes up in a rapture, it's not, you're not going there to see if you save. If you go to the judgment seat of Christ, you already saved, or you wouldn't have gotten there. So God is going to issue out the crowns, and he say when he come in the air and we are lifted up, he say, my reward is in my hand. And then when we get there, he said they're going to be crowns given up. And it's not predicated on your salvation because you're there. But it's going to be on your works and your deeds. Hallelujah. And verse 25 and 26, it said, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way. And 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead also. Many of you may know who Rahab is. And let me see how much time I got to see if I could just touch this. Because when I'm teaching, oh, we almost at the end. But anyway, Rahab was a prostitute that sat on the walls in Jericho. God had sent the Israelites to go and spy on Jericho because that was the entrance to the promised land he had promised them. So the prostitute saw him come in, and she was sitting on the wall, and the people was looking for them because they said that they were spies. She hid them, but she had enough knowledge. The prostitute that wasn't being taught, first of all, she was a woman. Second of all, she wasn't being taught. She wasn't going to the temple and all of this. But because of the evidence of the stories that she heard about a sovereign, mighty God, she believed. And when they came, she put her faith in action by hiding them so that they wouldn't be killed. And she planted that seed, that little seed of faith that she had. But, oh, she got a big harvest. Because, you see, she realized that God's going to come and take and do what he want to do. But she was saying almost by faith, Lord, remember me. And what happened, she told him, when y'all come back, remember me in mine. Hallelujah, y'all. So her and her whole household was saved when God went in and destroyed Jericho and the people thereof. You see, Rahab was a Gentile, a prostitute. She understood that God was in control because she had heard how he parted the Red Sea and how he gave mammon from heaven. And she knew about, you know, these things. So she decided to put what she knew, the evidence, which turned into faith. She had faith in the God of Israel. And she wanted to do something, and she hit them, and they were saved. And when they came and took the land, they saved her and her household. You see, she planted a seed that produced the harvest. Y'all want a harvest? Anybody waiting for their harvest to come in? Every deed and works you do is a seed that is being planted. She sowed a seed that produced a harvest. And you have to do, you have to give to get y'all. Because she realized she was willing to do the work. When you have faith, it is the faith that saves you into good works. Come on now. It's the faith that drives you to the work. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is motivating, equipping, enabling, and empowering you with everything that's necessary to perform. It ain't even on you, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that again. The Holy Spirit is constantly motivating, equipping, enabling, and providing you with the necessary things to perform the works and the deeds. God has given each of us a gift for service in the kingdom. That's how he knew his, that was his purpose for his kingdom operating in the most excellent way. But again, the harvest is plentiful and the labor is a few. You see, everything has a purpose designed to give God glory. When you set on your faith, you don't allow it to produce all that God intended to do for you and the things he want to do through you. And I want you to know, as I said earlier, that salvation is first. So you're not saved by works, and God didn't want you to get it twisted. You're saved by faith. But works follow. That's the lesson for the night. Any comments, questions, or concerns, you could say them at this time. Anyone could ask any question. They could join in on the lesson. They could talk about faith. They could ask a question. All you have to do is press the one button on your phone. Well, if no one has anything to say at this time, I'll open your mic, Sister Pam, and you could give us our benediction. Okay, the benediction tonight, the benediction tonight is coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much, my darling. And that's our lesson for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back again. Remember, faith without works is dead. Works is the evidence of our faith. So go out and be blessed. I pray everyone have a great night rest tonight and the rest of the week. And we'll meet up on Wednesday night at the 8:30 hour. But until then, go in peace And it is my prayer that God bless each and every one of us real good. Good night.